It's time to play like a Jet with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Mekhi Becton, ladies and gentlemen, human beings that large should not run as fast as Mekhi Becton did. And if you like people just abusing other humans, the Mekhi Becton tape is for you.
Wilson going to the air. Chased out by Daquan Jones. Wilson looking end zone, wide open, touchdown! First NFL touchdown for Zach Wilson. And it goes to Corey Davis.
Down the middle, he's got it. Elijah Moore, the 20, the 10, the 5, touchdown!
Jones had just caught flat-footed. What an excellent, excellent route.
Hill hit immediately when he got the handoff.
You know who that's?
The Q-inator.
Oh my gosh.
Listen, thank you.
From the PlayLikeAJet.com digital studio, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it's the return of one of my favorite guests, my good friend Joe Blewett, who does Blewett's Blitz over at JetsXFactor.com. Just for a little peek behind the curtain, it's been tough to get shows done with Joe this year just because Joe has so many things going on. I've got so many things going on, but we were able to put this together to do a show on a very controversial subject, and that, of course, is Kyle Hamilton, the safety from Notre Dame. A lot of buzz that the Jets could be in the running to take him at number 4 overall in the draft. Joe has taken a strong look at him, so I was really happy that we were able to work this out so we could pick Joe's brain on what he saw on the tape of Kyle Hamilton. Joe, welcome back to the show, brother.
Yeah, I never thought I would say this, but I missed you, Scott. you're busy with your site. I'm busy with my site. I'm working midnights. It's like impossible to get together for a show. It's like, do you have like 30 minutes on this day at 5 o'clock? You know, we have to be really tight. Like, it just is what it is. But I'm definitely glad to be on for Kyle Hamilton, and I'm sure we'll do, you know, some other guys and some other offseason stuff. It's a little more flexible than, you know, the game reviews where, you know, you only have within a week to get together. So it's pretty much impossible. So I'm looking forward to talking Hamilton. I think you saying it's controversial is just kind of funny because I feel like I'm always kind of involved in stupid controversies. So let's get into this one.
For sure. And the reason that Kyle Hamilton is a controversial pick isn't because he's a bad player. We all acknowledge he's an excellent player. The question is whether or not he's good enough to justify drafting at number 4, considering the position he plays. And one of the biggest arguments that people will make about Kyle Hamilton is he's not just a safety. Now, we did hear that about Jamal Adams, but let's just preface this by saying that they're different types of players. Jamal Adams, strong safety. Kyle Hamilton is more of a free safety, a center fielder. But what you hear about first and foremost with Kyle Hamilton, as far as his strengths, is his range. He has insane range, and I'm sure that you saw that when you watched the tape, right?
Yeah, and him versus Jamal Adams, like, and you kind of put it there perfectly. Like, he's more of the free safety who has versatility. Where Jamal Adams, like, yeah, he's not like air quotes not just a safety, but you really look at a good strong safety, like he was just a safety. He was just a box safety. And a box safety at times is a linebacker. So you can argue strong safety, box safety, a guy who could somewhat play man coverage when he was a Jet, and obviously he's dipped off with the Seahawks, which is absolutely fantastic for everybody. but with Hamilton, like he's truly more versatile than Jamal Adams. Like, and he actually played in the box a little bit less than I thought he would initially hearing about him. And that's why I always preface my opinions. Like, I'll do like live streams, whatever, other podcasts, and be like, oh, what's all in Hamilton? It's like, well, I think this, but I got to watch because I don't trust anybody. That's just the nature of it. So yeah, he's much more like a high safety and versatile that way than in the box, but he could definitely play in the box. And I watched 3 games, preface it by saying that. I could watch the other 4 or 5 games of his last year at Notre Dame, and maybe they mixed them up a little bit more, but I watched FSU, Toledo, and Purdue, and he was playing everything in terms of coverages, from, you know, from the hook to the curl to flat to the hook to curl to deep middle third to outside and in deep half to man coverage on tight ends, running backs, slots, receivers. So he is truly a coverage chess piece, and that's kind of the conversation that why it's controversial, because and you brought it up, and maybe you're cheating a little bit because we talked pre-show in terms of him being the chess piece. And that's the argument, like, are you looking at him as just a safety? If he's just a safety, then okay, I would get the conversation. And I'm prefacing this by saying, okay, if he's generational, which we still haven't got into, but if he's truly generational safety who could play, again, all those positions I just talked about, and who can also play in the box, then is he just a safety? Or is he a part safety, part corner, part low safety, part high safety, part blitzer, part a box defender, like a run defender? Okay, then we're talking about a versatile chess piece who, if you just play him at high safety or low safety, then you're mismanaging him. So, and to me, like, generational is generational, and we could talk about this for a freaking hour, Scott. I know that. But, like, you know, was Quentin Nelson at the time, like, were Colts fans saying, oh, well, generational, oh, but he's a guard, you know, I think he was worth it. You know, Kyle Pitts, nobody's gonna take a tight end, but I think if Kyle Pitts was in this draft, I can't speak for you, but at four, would you take Kyle Pitts in this draft if you're a Jets with a big need at tight end? Like, you, most people probably would, obviously some wouldn't, but tight end's a lower value position, air quotes. So is guard. You know, you can argue linebacker, shift, all this stuff, but again, if he's a multidimensional piece on defense, then it becomes an interesting conversation. But that all stems around the fact of if he's truly generational, truly the best player in the draft, if that was the answer. But I had to dive in to see.
And when you dove in, what did you see?
Yeah, a guy who I think could play the box, didn't play in the box as much as I thought he would. But 6'4", 220, his movement for a guy who's 6'4", 220 is, and with his length, is absolutely ridiculous. Like, he is generational from a movement prospect, in terms of just the fluidity, the acceleration, the top end speed, how he can bend it around blocks, everything we talk about, from effort, from tackle radius. Like, he has all those physical tools that are pretty ridiculous, to be completely honest. So he has, you know, like a big corner, he has the ability to match up with slot with bigger receivers, the Mike Evans's of the world, which obviously large leap to make, but I'm just comparing him to a big receiver. Like, you can see him playing in man coverage with him. He has like fluidity and movement skills to match up with some slot guys. He has the size and the strength and the aggressiveness to match up with a Rob Gronkowski. Now, I'm not saying he's going to win all these matchups, but I'm just saying he could play those matchups. You don't feel uncomfortable with him. So he's pretty ridiculous in terms of his athleticism. And you obviously like the versatility that he showed at Notre Dame. And again, maybe those other games he played in the box more, but just from the flashes I saw of him playing the box, playing in the run game, the aggressiveness he takes on blocks with, how he stacks guys, how he sheds guys, he's super slippery, being paired with upfront aggressiveness, which is good, because, you know, guards and tackles on, you know, pulling on dart plays and stuff like that don't necessarily expect a safety to stack and shed them, but he will do that. But with all that being said, I was kind of in the camp of, like, okay, truly generational, I'm okay with him at four. Like, I would take him. Like, that was my camp. I watched him, and I'll always be honest, controversy, all that stuff. I was a little bit disappointed watching him. I thought that, and I think I did like about like 30 plays, and I thought like 25 of those 30 plays were gonna be like, wow, 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 holy crap, wow, wow. But like almost like half those plays, like, oh, he has to improve on this, he has to improve on that. He got beat twice on long runs. One run, he took a really bad angle in terms of both the angle and actually how he broke down. And there was a run that busted up the middle that went for a really long run or a touchdown that he completely whiffed on. It was just like, he's good in terms of breaking down and getting square on guys, but sometimes he does it a little bit too far away, which could be a problem. And there's another time where he was, I think he was like deep half or opposite side of the field from where the run went. And there was a running back running up the sideline, and there was a wide receiver who was running up with the running back. And instead of being a little bit more cautious, going over top of the receiver's attempted block or where the receiver's running to, and, you know, flipping his hips, allowing the guys from behind to rally and make the tackle, he tries to undercut it at a really bad angle, and then the running back runs for a touchdown. So I see him get beat multiple times in only three games for really long runs, which you cannot have as a safety. We saw plenty of that with the Jets this year. We can't have that with Kyle Hamilton, especially if he's drafted number four. And then in coverage too, like, again, he's kind of like that gazelle, really good in terms of like his fluid motion, all that stuff, but like, he could definitely leverage himself better in terms of route concepts and get over top of it more. In off man, definitely gets caught flat footed sometimes, and he relies on his ability. Like, he relies on his lateral movement to be able to kind of like use catch man on guys 10 yards off, 12 yards off, 7 yards off, whatever it is. And if guys defeat his arms, they blow right past him. Like, there was multiple times that I watched in those three games where he could have been beat for a very long gain, if not a touchdown. There is times where he gets distracted a little bit in the backfield. And again, then he kind of loses his leverage. The fact that he breaks down too far from the tackle target's a little bit of a concern. There's times where he reaches a little bit too much in coverage, and I expected that all to be really good. Like, and there was some simple stuff. It's not all overly complex. Like, there was a play where he's a cover two safety, and there's a two-man route concept, and you're basically reading both of those two guys. And if one guy goes short, then okay, the only vertical threat you're going to see in a cover two is the number two, number one, whatever it was, the guy who's going long past 10 to 12 yards. If the other threat goes short, it pretty much becomes man coverage. Like, obviously it's zone, but it becomes man at a certain point when you run into the zone. And I think it was the outside receiver ran like a pivot or a whip. And then the number two is stemming directly at him. And he leverages himself way, way, way too far inside, like a good like 3 or 4 yards instead of, you know, playing him heads up. The receiver breaks outside on a corner route and he gets dusted. And like, that's like really pretty simple stuff. Like, that's not overly complex. Like, we're talking like it was a similar play, but obviously, you know, corner play, a corner route versus a vertical route, like almost identical to what you saw with Elijah Riley against the Bucks in that last play of the game. Like, it was similar situation to that, and he just did not play it right. So there was a lot more bust than I thought there would be for a guy who is air quotes generational. I think he has generational type athleticism, and we saw that. There was a play, you know, range, I put it up, you know, opposite hash to sideline, he picked the ball off, the ball did hang up in the air for a little bit, but he, like I said, he runs like a gazelle, accelerates like a cheetah, like to bring up all the cheesy stuff, but it just came to mind. So he has the athleticism to be generational, but the awareness, the actual technique was not generational for me, which kind of knocked him down a peg for me.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Joe, one thing I was curious about is Jalen Ramsey is somebody that when he came out of college was sort of that safety corner hybrid, and obviously in the pros turned into one of the best corners in the league. Is there any possibility in your mind that Kyle Hamilton could maybe become some sort of hybrid like that in the NFL and eventually shift to a corner role just based on his athleticism and his size and his range? Or is that something that there's no way he would be able to do?
Honestly, like I think with his athleticism, you could do really whatever you want with him. And I would have to watch more of Jalen Ramsey to see exactly what he was coming out of college, because at that point, no, I wasn't, you know, excuse my French, but balls deep as I am now with all these draft prospects. And for my knowledge of Ramsey, he was more of like a corner safety, where Hamilton's mm-hmm. more of a safety corner. Mm-hmm. So I don't necessarily think they would try that, just because he didn't play as much corner as I think Jalen Ramsey did at FSU. Correct me if I'm wrong. So it's a possibility. I just don't think that you take a guy at safety and just move him to corner. But with that being said, again, let's say you're struggling against the Bucks or whoever, you know, Gabe Davis, you know, bigger receiver mm-hmm. against the Bills, hopefully in the divisional round next year or something. Just let me live my fantasies. Kyle Hamilton can match up with those guys. Like, I just don't see him consistently matching up with like slot guys. Even though I said he could do that, and you're going to have situations where you're going to have guys who aren't in ideal matchups. Like, you're going to have, you know, the Guidry's versus, well, hopefully it's more than Guidry next year, but Guidry's versus Stephon Diggs, or Bryce Hall versus Stephon Diggs. And that's a reason I don't think they put him on Stephon Diggs, and people complain about that. But Bryce Hall just does not have the athleticism that he does, and that's probably why they matched Eccles on him. They could have played a little bit differently, but story for a different day. So I think it's a possibility you see him there sometimes. I just don't think all the time. Again, I think if they're struggling with a bigger guy, you put Kyle Hamilton, who's a freak athlete, 6'4", 220, is probably just going to add muscle and be 225, 230, and be able to move the way he does. I think he could do it at times. I just don't think a team would do it. I don't think it's a completely non-factor. I think you could do it. I just don't see a team actually kind of having the balls to take a safety, you know, and do that in the top four. Again, with Ramsey, who's more corner, who played safety, and this would be more of a safety now switching completely to corner, which is again a little bit of a long shot, but I like I said, in situations I could see it.
Whether he became a full-time corner or not, I guess the question I'm really asking is whether or not you think Kyle Hamilton could be a defensive eraser. And what I mean is, could you put him on a Kelsey and try to get him erased out of the game? Could you take him and put him on, as you said, a Gabe Davis if he's killing you and try and get him taken out of the game? Would he be able to guard somebody like Stephon Diggs if you needed him to? Is he the kind of guy that as a chess piece could be used in that type of way where he could essentially take out the opposing team's best offensive weapon? Is that something that you think he could be coached up to do in the NFL?
Yeah, and that's an important term you said, coached up, because that's what I was going to say. Because like I said, if you're not leveraging yourself properly, if your feet, and he has a really smooth back pedal again, but once guys kind of creep up on him, they get within that 5 to 7 yards, he gets flat footed. And in the NFL, you cannot get flat footed because the Diggs of the world are going to stem you. They're going to punch through, they're going to chop it, and you're absolutely effed. So he has the athleticism to do it. And if he's coached up and he leverages himself better, he doesn't get caught in flat-footed and off man. If he continues to backpedal, if he continues to weave, which is basically just a backpedal and while you're moving laterally, if he gets coached up to do that stuff, he could now. You know, Stephon Diggs conversation. I think the examples of Gabe Davis, Mike Evans, Kelsey, Gronkowski are more of the matchup for him, because even though he's a freak of an athlete, 6'4" is still really, really lanky to be able to match Stephon Diggs. Like, so could it happen for some reps? Yes. Will he lock Stephon Diggs down, the Tyreek Hills down, like the guys who are super, super shifty? I don't think he would do that with great consistency. He wouldn't necessarily want to do it, but pretty much every other receiver, tight end, running back, etc., you know, minus the top, you know, 5 to 10 guys, especially the top 5 to 10 guys with those really fluid movement skills, I think he could do it. Like, again, the Mike Evans of the world, not Gabe Davis. I'm trying to think of those other receivers, like the Odell Beckhams, the Diggs, Tyreek Hills. Like, you wouldn't want to see him versus the shifty guys, but bigger guys, sure. So a defensive eraser with the kind of sidebar of minus the really shifty guys, and really who is shutting those guys down even nowadays. Like how do you shut those guys down with the rules of the NFL now? We saw Jalen Ramsey, probably the best corner in the NFL, in the divisional games, which, by the way, holy crap, get beat by Mike Evans multiple times towards the end of the game. So I think he can match up with the Mike Evans types, but I don't think you're really going to be able to get any corner to shut those guys down with how it works. And it wouldn't be the most advantageous matchup, but I think he could shut down 90% of the weapons, obviously, like you said, with being coached up, which is important because you don't necessarily see the kind of the freak of athletes that Kyle Hamilton are, but to a lesser extent, you see guys who are plenty athletic to be air quotes coached up to be really good, Vernon Golston. But that's not necessarily a leap you could just bank on a person making, you know? So while I think he could be a really, really, really good safety, I can't just, again, pen him in that he's going to make the changes in his technique, because plenty of guys have come out of college and haven't made that leap.
You said you were disappointed in him watching some of his reps in running plays where he got beat on some bad runs. I was curious if you think this is something that happened far too often, or just far too often for a guy who you thought was going to be a generational prospect. Because obviously when you pick a guy that high at the safety position, you want him to be that defensive eraser in the passing game, but you also want him to be an excellent defender against the run. Do you think he's overall an excellent defender and you just saw a couple of outlier plays that need to be fixed? Or is this a deeper problem with him against the run game?
You don't want any more Ashton Davis angles. it's twice too, and it was probably two or three times, but it's twice too much in three games. To me, it is like getting beat for almost one big run a game because of a bad angle or you being over aggressive is too much for me. Is it fixable? Yeah, it's something that's relatively fixable. You know, come from a higher angle, more conservative, more aggressive than this, you know, in this incident on third and short, you know, there's plenty of different ways to coach up. I would think, again, I'm not in the room with those guys, but it seemed it'd be pretty easy to coach up. But it wasn't just one outlier play or two, it was two or three, and two or three in three games is too much. You know, like Ashton Davis got beat versus the Bills, Stingley run, I believe. That was also, or not Stingley, Singletary run. I think Quincy Williams was beat on that play too. But yeah, I think once a game is too much. Like, again, you need to be, as a safety, a generational safety, a guy who is consistently going to wrap up, make that tackle. And some of that, like, yeah, great, be aggressive in the box, like shoot your gaps, do what you got to do. But as a high safety, you're that last line of defense. A lot of times you kind of just got, you have to almost like concede the play. Like, listen, I'm just going to take a conservative angle. I'm going to give him an extra 10 yards than I might if I took that aggressive angle. The problem with aggressive angle, you might, you know, save those 10 yards, but if you miss, you're screwed because no one else is behind you. So a lot of times these deep safeties, you know, Mark Smith of the world are pretty good in terms of playing conservatively and letting guys rally to make that tackle. And he just didn't do that. Breaking down way too early, got beat for a very long run. And then another time where he was way too aggressive and needed to go over top of a receiver's block. Again, as there's other guys trailing I think it's a running back. And if he were to slow it down because he'd had to cut back inside, if Hamilton played over the top, there would have been guys there to tackle, make that tackle. So he has to be much smarter with it. So, it wasn't like it happened, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 times, like some people may think when I say it's a problem, but I think almost one time a game is way too much as a deep safety.
Joe, you said you were a little disappointed watching his film because you were expecting so much. But after talking about his crazy range, his athleticism, the way that he could be used as a chess piece, how willing would you be to accept Kyle Hamilton as the number four overall pick? And even if you don't think, based on the film, that he's a slam dunk generational prospect, do you think with the right coaching, he could become that generational type of player?
Yeah, interesting question. Because before this, and I know we would disagree on this and have probably thousands of conversations, we already kind of did, but I already knew like texting you where you stood, and texting an argument is just, it's just not worth it. So we probably, you know, talk for the phone on 3 hours about it. But for me, it's like, if you're truly generational, if you're truly the best player in the draft, no matter the position, again, if he could lock down, you know, play, if he could play on Mike Evans, if he could play on Gronk, if he could play on Kelsey, if he could play a linebacker, if he could blitz, if he could play, you know, high safety, low safety, all this stuff, then it's more than just a safety. Like, he could play whatever you want him to be. So before that, and trusting some people, you know, Daniel Jeremiah's of the world, whoever's out there, and them saying he's generational, he's the best player in the draft. By the way, I'm not 100% sure if Jeremiah, that's just an example, if he actually said that, but if he was truly that player, then I was rooting for him at three. Like, that's who I wanted. Like, I was in the camp of, okay, Hutchinson, Thibodeau, Hamilton, because again, make the argument, you know, against the generational prospects who don't make impacts in Quentin Nelson and Pitts. And obviously they play offense and Zach Wilson, all that stuff, but still, even on the defensive side of the ball, I'm down with that. I just am. That's just how I look at it. Just take the best player. Minus obviously like kicker, punter, even though kicker with the divisional round, maybe we need one of those too high in the draft. yeah, I was on that train, but I had to be thoroughly impressed with the film, watched it. And again, plays in coverage, getting beat deep. Maybe there was a time or two where the quarterback couldn't get the ball there, but still, I am like 1,000%. And I've probably already repeated 1,000 times in the show. I'm not sure, but I'll do it again. I am on the boat of process versus results. I could care less about a lot of the time about the results. I'm all about the process. And his process was too bad for me on too many plays for me to be thrilled about the pick at four. I'm almost Hutchinson, Thibodeau trade down, and I got to watch Neil as well, but I would be okay with the pick. Like, before, I would be excited about the pick. Now I would be like, I get it, but it's not my ideal situation for it to be Hamilton at four. Now, do I think he could be coached up with good coaching, and will it happen? I'm pretty confident it will, but to what extent? Because again, you could have great athleticism, but if your technique is not on point pretty much at any position, you're just not going to win in the NFL. At least at the rate that I would want him to win, considering he'd be a top, you know, a top five and the fourth pick for the Jets. So I'm pretty confident he's going to turn into a really, really, really good player. But is he going to turn into a top five safety, which I need him to be picking him at four? So again, I would be okay with it, just not excited about it like I was prior to watching the film. And again, I always preface it and only watching three games, maybe those other four games, I think he only played 7 games this year. Those other four games he watched, or if I watch those other four games, you know, later on, if they draft him, and if he fixes some of those problems in the run game and the pass game that I mentioned, then I would be much more confident. But that's not, you know, I haven't seen that yet. You know, I got to watch all seven, but I think three is a pretty good sample size. So more meh with the pick than excited about the pick after watching.
Joe Blewett, the host of Blewett's Blitz, thanks so much for coming on and talking about Kyle Hamilton with me. I've really been looking forward to having this conversation with you because, as you said, we've been going back and forth with texts, and it's not as instructive as having a long-form conversation about it and really allowing you to explain what you saw on film. So I'm really happy that you were able to do that with me. For those that want to check out your long-form reviews, and when I say long-form, I'm not talking about 12, 15 minutes on video. I'm talking about 3-4 hours. So the heavy-duty stuff, you don't miss anything on Joe's film reviews. Go ahead and tell people how they can check out what you're doing.
Yeah, JoeRB31 on Twitter. I don't post there as much as I used to because now I have the site and there's an incentive for the subscriber. Same thing with the video. Sometimes you get them free. Sometimes you only get 10, 15 minutes, and the rest of the hour or two is only on the website, which it is what it is. But like you said, yeah, it's, you know, I get the short highlight type stuff that a lot of people do. You know, I'm not going to mention any names, but you know who I'm talking about because we've had plenty of conversations on the side, Scott. Yeah, I like to really get into the nitty gritty to really, really show people exactly what this player is. Go over all the strengths, go over all the weaknesses, not just a few plays. So I know it's a niche crowd, but if you really, really want to learn about your players, I get the short stuff to have a good digestible kind of short, like understanding of a guy. But if you want to know a player, that's what I'm about. So I'll always work towards my niche, and I appreciate my niche people. But Joe RB31 Twitter, Jets X Factor, follow me there and catch me on here. Hopefully more than, you know, once in the 6 months that we've been doing recently.
Absolutely, Joe. I'm looking forward to talking again soon. Make sure you're checking out everything that Joe is doing over at Jets X Factor. He's got his YouTube. And then, of course, if you're a subscriber, you get access to the 4-hour film reviews, the marathon sessions, if you really want to dig in and get the nitty gritty on these players. I'm actually really looking forward to what you've got cooking on Elijah Moore, because I think Elijah Moore is a budding number one wide receiver. And I think that your film review is going to show that. And I'm looking forward to having you back on to talk to you about that as well. In the meantime, check out everything we're doing at playlikeajet.com and the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel. The Thunder from Down Under, Luke Grant, has got some great videos up there. They're not as long as Joe's. They're not 3 or 4 hours, but they're pretty good sample sizes and give you a good explanation of what some of these players do well and do poorly. For example, Treylon Burks, the outstanding wide receiver out of Arkansas, Trey McBride, the tight end out of Colorado State, Dalton Schultz, who's the impending free agent tight end from the Dallas Cowboys. Is he going to be worth $14 million? Luke attempts to answer that question with an All-22 review. It's all there on our YouTube channel, so watch the videos and subscribe if you haven't already. Visit our store, teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. We've got the Bless You, Thank You, John Franklin Myers, Quinn and Williams shirt, the Zach Says Go Long shirt, the Zach the Ripper shirt, the Play Like a Jet logo shirt, mugs, caps, hoodies. It's all there. teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. And don't forget to give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. It doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and playlikeajet.com.